Good afternoon. Welcome to Who's Tom and Dick? With your hosts, Martin Weavers and Patrick Mortimer.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Back here on a Friday.
Yeah.
Really excited about today's show because we've got a great guest, Keith Ambrose.
And it's nearly fireworks night.
It is, yeah. Oh. November the 5th. They don't have that across the world. That's only a UK thing.
Oh, of course.
And obviously named Guy Fawkes after the famous Guy Fawkes who tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. Just imagine, though, that's a cool name, isn't it, Guy Fawkes?
Guy Fawkes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just imagine if that was Kevin Smith. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Kevin Smith night.
Or Trevor.
Apologies if you're called Kevin Smith and Trevor
something. Well, exactly, yeah. But Guy
Trevor
Fawkes.
Partridge night.
Yeah.
We know a Trevor Partridge.
We do. And he's probably listening.
Yes, probably.
Well done, Martin. Guy Fawkes, what a cool name that is. Yeah. Anyway, before we kick off, I've got something to say.
What's that?
And it's Martin's birthday tomorrow, the 4th of November.
It is.
He couldn't wait until the 5th and go off with a big bang. But anyway, happy birthday for tomorrow, Martin.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so it's time, Martin, to introduce our guest, which we've been really looking forward to, Keith Ambrose, and he's with us now. And he suffers from an illness called...
Hold on a minute. I think we ought to try and see who can get pronounce this best.
Right, okay.
Well, you or me.
Right, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then Keith will perhaps tell us when you...
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'll judge.
Yeah, bring it up. I think it's polycythemia vera.
Not a bad effort.
That's more or less polycythemia vera.
Close.
Well, let's welcome Keith. And how do you pronounce it, Keith?
It's polycythemia vera.
Right, okay.
So you're close.
Sudbury man,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Businessman, run Treadfirst Tyres successfully for many years. Keith, tell us how you found out that there was something wrong.
It was about 2013.
Yeah.
And I'd had this skin itch and thing where it wouldn't go away. It was just like this horrible sensation over your torso and arms. And it was just like being stung with stinging nettles, and it would just last for an hour. And so I went to the doctors and said, you know, this is the problem.
Yeah.
And they tried various things like dietary solutions, creams and lotions and potions to do it, and nothing sorted together. So I kind of lived with it. And then a few months and after that, I had really bloodshot eyes. Looked like I'd been out on the beer for a while, and I probably had, but that's what it looked like. And really ruddy cheeks, so looked like, you know, the country man. And again, I went to the doctors, and he suggested I should go to an optician's and have my eyes checked out and stuff like that, which I did. And yeah, I needed glasses, obviously, but it wasn't a problem. And then finally came right up to 2016. I was getting headaches like you've never had before. Never suffered from migraines or anything like that. It just wouldn't go. So I went back to the doctors, and this is where it came to a head, and said to the doctor, he said to me, what can I do for you? So I said, well, there's a few things. And he said to me, let me stop you there. You can only come here to discuss one thing at a time.
Right.
At which point I kind of lost it a little bit and said, I came here to see you because I thought, give you these things that I've got, you might put two and two together and come up with a solution.
Yeah.
And he changed his tone and said, we better do a blood test.
So he's already gone from 2013 to 2016.
Yes, absolutely. This is exactly it. So right. 3 years
and,
of.
And this is your normal GP.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he said, "We'll do a blood test," and he said, "We'll do it now."
Yeah.
And he did, and I'll cut to the chase really. But then, so the next day, I got a phone call saying, "Could you come in?" And you both know, and most of the people listening will know, when you have a blood test, they test a whole bunch of stuff, don't they?
They do,
I think there was something like 26 things they check. And there's a parameter for all of them. And if you're in between there, then all good. And if you're not, you get a red flag. Yeah. I had 12 red flags.
Crikey.
Come on. I thought I had enough when I was in hospital with pneumonia.
Yeah, 12 red flags. Yeah.
Exactly that. So he suggested I went and saw a blood specialist, which is what I did, really. So, I had private health insurance, so I was able to go quickly. And again, I remember the date. It was the 2nd of June, 2016, because we was at the Suffolk Show. So I went to, got a text through saying, can you come to the Spire Hospital in Norwich and meet this Professor Bowles? Walked in the door, he said, I know exactly what you have. And he pronounced it better than you did, but he got it right.
I think everybody does.
And he said, the way we control it is by extracting blood in good quantities and then having some chemo pills to suppress, because what it is, it's red blood cells make the cells for fun. The red blood cells that carry oxygen, they should only be at a certain level, but yeah. it just makes it for fun. The upside is you have endless energy. The downside is your blood gets thicker and thicker, and eventually you can guess what might happen. So he said, we'll take some blood now. So I said, that's great. He said, how's your blood pressure? So I said, don't really know. And through all this, I'd never had my blood pressure taken. Really? This is a real lesson, this.
Yeah. God.
And so he said, well, we'll take your blood pressure, then we'll take some blood. He said, right, let's check your blood pressure. And his words were a bit high. And he walked across to his desk, rang his secretary back and said, ring the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital. I want two nurses in intensive care. I'm bringing someone now.
Really?
That must have been the shock of your life.
Yeah, my wife's sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, with this all going on.
Yeah.
You know, and he did exactly that. My blood pressure, for those that know, a good healthy blood pressure is 120 over 80. Mm-hmm. Mine was 220 over 120, which means I shouldn't have been standing, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they took me straight round to the Norwich Hospital with these two nurses in intensive care. Shoved a needle in one arm the size of a knitting needle.
Right.
And said, right, you won't have seen anything like this before. This man's blood will be like treacle.
Cool.
And it will come out very slowly. In the other arm, we're going to put a saline drip. Now, the other nurse, I want you to make sure this saline goes in at the same speed that comes out. Otherwise, this man is going into cardiac arrest.
Right, yeah.
And that was it, really. So, yeah. Long story, I know, but that's how it came about.
Yeah.
That was 2016. And I remember listening to your other podcast with Andy, who was saying about luck and being in the right place, right time.
Yeah.
This professor that I saw, Professor Bowles, who was not your stereotypical professor with the mad grey hair and all that, but a young man, was actually present at the hospital where they made the discoveries of this, because it's a newly found thing. So he was actually there when they were researching and kind of named it almost.
Blimey. Yeah, it's lucky.
So other people wouldn't know.
You know,
it is rare, and if you Google it, it says rare blood cancer, as well as it says.
Yeah, that is lucky. I mean, I've had some luck as well with mine, and Andy was, I mean, the luck that he had with his, just everything fell into place. They didn't really do many tests other than that then, blood test.
No, the blood test, but that's a specific thing they're looking for in the blood test. It's a thing called a JAK2 gene. It actually is a gene that goes faulty.
Yeah.
And it primarily happens on men of a certain age, about 60, which I was exactly 60. And they know not too much about it other than it's the bone marrow produces these red blood cells and it keeps on producing them. A little bit like if you was going cycling up a mountain, you'd be out of puff the first day. The second day you'd be better because your body would give you red blood cells. So my switch has gone on and it's never going off.
I was going to ask you how you felt once you got the diagnosis, but you don't seem to have had any time to think about it. It's all so swift.
I know, exactly that. And I think looking back, it's more not terrifying, but it's more, it means more, and you start to think of all the wider things, your family, and all those things that, you know, I'm not going to live forever kind of thing. And you have all those thoughts after the event, but it was so quick and so fast. As you say, everyone around me was, you know, in panic mode. It was just happening.
So your wife was with you.
Yes.
How did she deal with it? Was she just supportive and
brilliant? Absolutely brilliantly, because you know, someone that you love having that kind of thing happen to you is horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know. But she was there and relaxed and calm and supported me through it, which is
completely the opposite to my wife. When we got the diagnosis about my cancer, shoes and pieces.
Yeah.
I was fine. I was asking a million questions. Did you ask lots of questions?
Yes, absolutely. And obviously the same questions you would have done, like, you know, what's the likely outcome?
Kind of. That's right. Yeah. I mean, the first one, how long you got?
Yeah, exactly. And,
So what sort of treatment did you receive ongoing from there?
You'll love this bit of treatment anyway. Right. So the blood taking, and they take more than you would a blood donation.
Yeah.
They take sort of 450 ml at a time, which is quite a bit of blood. It's very nearly an armful, as someone once said. Yeah. but over the first 7 months, I had 46 pints of blood taken.
Wow. Right. And how much does a human body hold?
Eight, I think, so I was empty.
That's just a rotation.
Yeah, yeah. and it's just the taking of that and then the pills. And they said it takes about 12 months to settle down, and then it'll be either controllable by medication or a mixture of medication and blood or venesection, as they call it.
Right, yeah.
So I chose to do a bit of both, because the least amount of drugs I've got going into me, I feel, is a good choice. My wife and my daughter both at different times decided they'd come with me to watch this being happen, but they won't go again. You can see down the point of the needle.
Oh, right.
So you're used to this by now.
I am. I've first name terms with all the nurses and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
were there any others around you having this done at the same time? Well, I mean, you know, when you go in, Martin, don't you? Do you have patients around you?
I have people around me all the time who you get to know. But with yours being so rare, I should think there's probably you here, and there's others all around the country.
Yeah, you would think so. And there again, we've created a little bit of history, because strangely enough, about 3 months before I got diagnosed, I'd met my brother at a football charity fund thing. My brother Stuart, mm-hmm. who's 5 years younger than me. Patrick knows Stuart very well, went to school with him.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Oh, you did as well.
I was in the same football team.
And you've still got your legs.
And the last time I saw him was in the middle of, what was the name of the park?
I don't know, I went there.
The one in London, where they have all the concerts.
Oh, Hyde Park.
Hyde Park.
Yeah.
I heard it's Martin, and that was Stuart.
Oh, there we go.
Your brother calling me.
Well, there you go.
I think Smokey Robinson was the headline. Oh,
so, what's a miracle?
Boom, boom. Yeah, it's me that does the joke of the week.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, well, I'll cut that. So anyway, he came up to me, and he got bloodshot eyes worse than me.
Right.
And I said, what's going on? And we proceeded to have a conversation and found we got all the same symptoms. And
right.
This is just... So when I'm laying there, as you said, Martin, you just said, what did you say, I think, and asked the questions. I said, look, I need to get to my brother because he's got the same thing. They went, no chance.
Really?
Just no chance. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So I said, but he's got all the same symptoms. Tell me what I need to tell him to get checked for.
Yeah.
So they did. He rang me a day later and said, guess where I am? In Bury St Edmunds Hospital. He got
right.
it. So God. He's got it too.
Crikey.
So it's the first two people related.
So are they suggesting that could be hereditary?
They are now convinced it is hereditary, because my sister's son, who is quite a bit younger, Gavin, has also got it.
Right. Blimey.
So there must be other people in the country that their families have got it as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's not as rare as we think. I think it's undiagnosed.
That's exactly my point, that there's more cases that they're not actually counting.
100%. Mm. Well, my brother was being treated for the side effects of it, which is a high blood pressure. And he was being treated, and they were increasing the dose, and it wasn't controlling it.
Right.
So they would have gone on doing that. And actually, my father died age 70 of kind of the symptoms that the result of not treating it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can't prove that.
No.
But,
no.
You know, you've got to think that, haven't you?
Yeah.
What was it put on his death certificate?
It's an enlarged heart, but that would be what happens.
Because Andy looked into his father's, when our last guest.
Yes.
He looked into all the death certificates to see what their cause of death was. And his word, it was hereditary.
Yeah. Well, I think the enlarged heart, one of the symptoms of that is lack of oxygen to the heart, and that enlarges the heart.
Yes. So we'll never know, but you've got to think that. So really, we're sort of telling everyone, you know, anyone, all the male side of our family, to go checked for this JAK2 gene. Everyone's got the JAK2 gene, but that's the thing that goes faulty.
So. And then obviously their children, and would it be more in males? Because obviously...
It's an extremely rare thing they're saying, but it's like almost unheard of in female.
Really, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, interesting.
Yes.
So, I mean, because it's rare,
yeah,
and obviously there's not a lot of medical records on this, and you're writing them by the sound of things.
Absolutely, yeah.
The big question everybody asks when they get the diagnosis is, how long have I got, which Martin said.
Yes.
So I guess you've got no idea, really.
Well, there is figures out there, and that because, they, as you say, it's rare, so they're kind of compiling it as we go along. The first thing the professor said to me, he said, if we can get it under control, it shouldn't affect your longevity.
Yeah.
That was his first words to me. Shouldn't.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that sounds okay. Having said that, if you read up about it, it says typically 10 to 20 years.
Right.
Sort of 7 years of treatment.
Yeah.
And three. So if I said those things didn't cross your mind, I'd be lying to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we've all done that.
Yeah.
And the internet is probably the worst place to
Absolutely.
Go for information.
Absolutely.
And I remember years ago, my dad sitting in his armchair on his birthday, having his sister come round, and she bought him a big book, medical book.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And, and when she left, the first thing he did was throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
He said, because if I start looking in there, I'll have every complaint.
Absolutely right.
So, and that's the same with the internet. We're seeing this on the website and various Facebook forums.
Did you ever ask anybody, what do you think I've got, right, before you actually asked your doctor?
You are so spot on. We are dangerous. I googled it's called something, the skin itch and things, because they called it something.
Yeah.
And that was what I had. And then I put in that along with bloodshot eyes and stuff. I was getting all sorts of stuff.
You
know what I mean? I never came up with that because
You actually self-diagnose yourself with something completely different.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the problem is we're rubbish at going, I say we're rubbish, you know. I'm not a doctor wasn't a doctor visitor at all. You know, I'm a tough bloke. I'm going to live forever kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Well, I followed you on Facebook and on all your runs prior to your diagnosis.
Yes.
Where you were beating 20-year-olds and things like that. I remember
Absolutely.
And then I remember you telling me some time ago that you couldn't beat an 80-year-old at one stage.
Yeah, absolutely that. And that was another thing the doctor said, because I was so loving all my exercise and the run and stuff like that. And you're right, you said I did the London Marathon. I've done the Great North Run about a dozen times, Tough Mud, as you know. I was doing. By the way, they all say I was cheating then because I had oxygenated blood. So none of those times ever count.
Now. Right.
So that's it. So I kept badgering my specialist and saying, when can I go and do something again? Because you get stir crazy, you know, not doing anything. And he kept saying, no. And it was about a year before I was allowed to do anything. And he said, right, you can now go back and do it. So he said, I said, oh, great.
So what activities did you do?
Snowboarding and skiing.
What, around here?
Yeah, we get a lot around, especially in Norfolk. It's quite hilly over there. Yeah.
I'll have a look on my way home.
You will do.
I get snowed in.
Dear, oh dear. Yeah, no, so anything like that. And paddleboarding, stuff like that. Love all that. Been doing it for years. And
I wonder if being really, really, really fit helped.
He said it saved my life.
Mm.
And that was what he said to me. He said the fact you were so fit, because my numbers, I shouldn't have been standing, as I said to you, were not just the blood pressure, but my red blood cell count was nearly 70%, and it should be 40, 45. Mm. So thick blood, and the fact that I was exercising and stuff like that, I was sort of walking a tightrope, if you like, burning and living it like that. So,
I guess that would answer the question about the headaches.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And when you look back, it all fits into place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he said to me, you can go back and run. He said, but forget whatever you were doing before. He said, you're a normal 61-year-old now. So he said, so accept it. And as Patrick said,
don't invite those 80-year-olds to race.
All those people I used to run past were all smiling and waving.
Brilliant. That's a big risk with the heart.
Yes.
Having thick blood.
Yes.
You obviously don't know what state your arteries are in. Hopefully yours are in good shape because of your fitness and everything. So, but you know, that 3 years where you weren't diagnosed,
correct?
Cool.
You were a ticking time bomb.
Yeah,
without a doubt. And I actually think I did have I had a moment which seemed like people have said could have been a stroke. I didn't have the full on thing, but yeah. I had the slurred speech and I hadn't been drinking.
Right.
And I was at work actually, and I was looking at a computer trying to say what I was trying to say, and it came out as gobbledygook.
Right.
Hmm.
And one of the guys there said to me, "You need to go home."
Yeah. Yeah.
And it went away as quick as it came. So I think it
was a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, but I didn't pick up on that.
So I never had any signs for what I had with mine.
You didn't?
No.
Nothing.
And funny enough, mine's really rare. And perhaps that's why I don't look as bad as, you know, some people. And some people don't even know I'm ill.
No, well, you don't look ill.
No, I don't feel ill.
No.
But it's funny how...
But you do look pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's his birthday, isn't it?
Yeah. Did I mention my birthday?
No,
I don't think so, no.
So how many tablets are you on a day?
I have... not as many as you.
Right.
I have three. I have one... blood pressure tablet, and I have two of these chemo pills, which is 500 milligrams each, so it's a gram.
What chemo pill is it?
It's called hydroxycarbamide. How about that? It's another word for you.
Don't ask me the name of mine because I can't pronounce it, but it's not the same.
hydroxycarbamide, and it's, you know, and strange enough as well, I had a word with one of the, because I'm under sort of a group of doctors and stuff.
Because you're very
interested. Now I'm at Norfolk, Norwich.
Oh, blimey.
And so there are some new things going on regarding this, because like you two both, quickly picked out that we think it probably is more than it's not as rare as they think. There's some stuff going on, and they've been trialing some drugs that they think will do away with the need to have the blood taken, and they're at the final stages of that. And they said, "Would I be interested in being
a guinea pig?"
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
really. Yeah.
And
so how often are you having the blood done at the moment then?
I had one done this week, so it goes in. I have my blood checked every 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then depending on the result of that is whether I have it done. So this last 12 months, probably I've had about that done about six times.
Right.
So it's not too bad.
So they never mentioned statins to you at all?
No, they haven't.
Right.
No, I heard in your podcast it seems to be that the way people go.
I have statins,
I had to go and have a test at Harley Street. For some insurance cover once, and that was an American doctor, and he said that anybody over 40 with heart disease in the family, we automatically put on statins.
What do statins do? I mean, I don't want to be naive about this one.
Statins are a class of medicine used to lower cholesterol. So while some of the cholesterol is in the food that you eat, most of the cholesterol is actually made by the liver. So statins work to reduce the amount of cholesterol made by the liver and helping the liver to remove cholesterol that is already in your blood from that sort of thing. So that just seems a bit of a wonder drug, but a lot of people put off because they say they have side effects.
Yeah.
A lot of side effects, but touch wood.
I only have one at night in statins. You talk about tablets, I have 13 in the morning. Yeah, two.
What, do you take them all at once?
And three of them. There's similarities here because I feel a bit like a guinea pig because I've got this new revolutionary cancer tablet, and I'm only the second person to have this tablet.
Wow.
And Patrick knows it was giving me all kinds of problems at first, diarrhea, sickness, everything. But now they've got the right dosage for me, and I'm leading a good life now. I wouldn't say it's perfect because we're all suffering in different ways.
So how do they monitor you? Do you have to give them feedback or do you?
No. Well, yes, in a way, because I have to keep in contact with my oncologist.
Yes.
So is it an oncologist?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep in touch with them. Even in the last podcast, I was talking about having a cough and not going to see my grandchildren and that because of the risk of me getting a chest infection.
Yeah.
And then I go into hospital, which I was exactly a year ago, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Patrick came in last year on my birthday.
You're obviously on some sort of blood thinners, aren't you?
Yes.
For your blood pressure.
Yes, for the blood pressure thing.
Do you notice?
And a soluble aspirin. I missed that one out.
That's right. Yeah. Make sure you always have a soluble aspirin.
Absolutely.
Do you feel the cold more?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I never used to. No. I was always the one with, warm ends and never anything. But no, I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure whether that was old age or...
No, that's a common effect.
Keep out that snow.
Yeah. The trouble I have is I'm sitting on one chair and I'm freezing cold and Wendy's on the other chair and she's piping hot.
Alison's exactly the same. Absolutely the same.
I've got a little trick I've tried. She's going to listen to this.
Yeah.
I turn the thermostat up and she turns it down. Turn up to 22.
Yeah.
And when I look, next time it's 21. So when she was out the other day, I pulled the thermostat off.
Yeah.
Moved it round and pushed it back on again. So when I was on 20 now, that's actually on 22.
Was, until she hears this podcast.
Exactly. I might cut that bit out, actually. I shouldn't have said that. So that's a tip, that one.
Yeah, like Linny's exactly the same with the temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does the same on the thing. And the other day she was cold, and I said, well, it's because you've turned it down. It wasn't even on.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and Andy's point last week, he said he's pretty much back to normal. But he does suffer with tiredness in the night, in the evenings.
Oh, God,
especially mental tiredness. Do you suffer with that?
Ever so. While I'm going during the day, doing something, or out in the garden, I love my garden, stuff like that. While I'm doing something, I can keep going. And that's the other thing Alison always says to me, just sit down. But I don't, because if I sit down, that's curtains, really.
Yeah.
That's when you feel your tiredness.
And watch your telly, even Match the Day, you sit down there and you feel yourself just going. You know?
Yeah. No, I'm exactly the same with mine.
Yeah. But while you're going...
You're fine, yeah. Fine. Yeah. Well, I sort of hit a wall at sort of 6 o'clock for some unknown reason. It just sort of bang. I feel tired all of a sudden. But if I get up and start moving around, that wears off.
Yeah.
So I don't try and sleep during the day at all. I sleep between when I go to bed and when I get up. I might get up late sometimes, but that's when I do try to do mine, because I think once I give in to the afternoon snooze, that's it. I'm going to have one of those every day. But
I think you're right. I think the one thing that really sticks in my mind about all those things is, as like I said to you, I wasn't given a blood pressure test at all in that 3 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about it. And I would suggest to anybody, you should have regular blood pressure tests. You really should.
Well, a lot of the surgeries and chemists have got the machines in there.
Anybody listening to this now then perhaps can take note that you wasn't offered one.
No.
That they should ask for one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
as Patrick said, our doctor says you've got one, you can go and sit down and
just put your arm in.
Put your arm in the thing and
that spits out the result, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on a little ticket.
Yeah, good idea.
So every time I go to surgery, I always stick my arm in there just to make sure.
Yeah.
But
do either of you have the white coat syndrome?
No, what's that?
When you go to the hospital, your blood pressure goes up anyway.
Oh, right. No, I'm quite okay there. But the funny thing is, I've never ever had high blood pressure, even through all my illnesses. It's always been low. No.
That wasn't part of yours?
No. And I've always had a low heart rate. That's always between 40 and 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is strange. So, that's why I say these forums on Facebook can be quite dangerous, really, because, no one's the same. But
none of us are what you call a classic case for any of this stuff.
No, and really. the other thing we were talking about in the last podcast is the defib machines.
Yes.
You should always make sure you know where your local defib machine is.
Yep.
Especially once you've got the
eyes. I do, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right outside the sports centre. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in Dis, yeah. Well, I'm in Dickleborough, yes.
I'm in Riddlesworth.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the posh part.
Oh, yes. There's no posh part of Dickleborough.
I mean, how are you coping and living with it today? You just lead a normal life?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I kind of make sure I want to do the things I want to do and love my family and stuff like that. And you just sort of, we're going to Nashville.
Oh, excellent.
Next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And me and three others, we're off to the mecca of winter sports, which is Japan in February. Blimey. So it's got to get myself fit.
For that.
Can I ask you a question? Insurance. Well, Pat's been to America.
Yeah.
And he was saying a couple of podcasts ago about it. It's gone up for you.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. You can't hunt around and get a bargain, I'm afraid. No. And you can't lie about your condition.
You've also got to time your visits to the doctors as well.
Yeah.
because on the form they asked you if you've you're waiting for any diagnosis or treatment or anything like that. Once you tick that box, you're almost uninsurable.
Yeah.
So you know, you got to plan your holiday. I mean, that's like this. I shouldn't say this really, but the holiday I just had in America with my son, I had a my 6-monthly checkup booked for 1st of September, and I changed it to the 1st of November, simply because if they found anything, you know, I'd either be stuck here or I wouldn't have got the insurance.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got to think about all sorts of things with...
All these lovely things come with it, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. So do you live your life more full now, do you think?
I think I appreciate things? I kind of always have, but I certainly do appreciate things, without a doubt. I still work, much to my wife's annoyance. But, again, I enjoy it. I like the contact with people.
The day-to-day.
But you sort of reach a point where, you know, if it's a nice sunny day and I don't fancy going to work, I don't have to.
No.
So it's kind of the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, and you appreciate, you appreciate material things don't mean anything.
Not a thing. Like I said, there's no sense of feeling sorry for yourself or anything like that. You want to be around for those others, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel people changed around you? Treated you differently?
I was going to ask that.
No, I don't think so, really. I think they've always seen
the reason we ask this is because this has got brought up in our last podcast, didn't it? People find that people do get that treated different.
Oh, no. Not everybody kind of knows what I've got. That's the trouble. Because, as you just said a little while ago, outwardly, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of us look as if we've...
No.
No.
Two heart attacks, cancer, and your leukemia.
Blood cancer, is it? Leukemia sort of thing, yeah. So, I think because we don't go around going, oh, look at me, I've got, you know, I think people...
I'm just thinking, I mean, you know, once you've had the immediate illness and you come out of hospital and you're recuperating, I mean, you said people would treat you differently. They'd start to buy you things and bring you things and invite you to things.
Box at Arsenal bought for me by my son-in-law, which is lovely, and also test match tickets.
I'm not sure the box at Arsenal was really...
I hope Laura and George and Ben are listening to this.
Yeah. Put your bucket list down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's Christmas, so you're too near to that, mate.
Yeah, yeah. It is nice. It obviously affects those people, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know, even if they don't say it, it does affect them because they worry about you, if nothing else, don't they? But I think, again, because I've always been super active and always done stupid things. In fact, I did a skydive with my son Ben about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, oh, God.
So I've always liked doing
stuff. Did you tell your oncologist?
No. They think it's funny. They love it.
Yeah.
They think it's great. Yeah, because you can and think, you know, this is the end and start counting.
You could sit all
day. I've got 5 years
and
left, or, you know.
Yeah. I've just noticed, going off topic now, because we're coming to the end of the podcast, but I've noticed that you're trying to take on Ed Sheeran at Ipswich Town. I noticed Treadfast now sponsoring the substitutions.
Actually, do you see that, did you?
Yeah, I do. See it every week.
It's a substitution sponsored by Treadfast.
Yeah, brilliant.
We always wave to Ed straight across the other side.
Well, this is going all over America and everywhere.
Is it?
I know who Ed Sheeran is.
Yeah, I think they might do.
And if you get asked for a tyre.
Yes. Yeah, good old Ed.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, great. Okay, Keith, well, that's fabulous. Thank you very much for coming in. And thanks for all your kind openness, really.
No, you're more than welcome. And like I said, if anything helps anybody and people recognise some of those symptoms, you don't want to panic, you know, go get checked out. You know, like we always say, don't be a non-doctor goer.
First person to go to is the doctor, not to Facebook, not to your friends.
Correct.
Yeah.
Lovely. Good. Great stuff.
So we're big thank you to Keith Ambrose for his participation today.
I'm off to my party now.
You're off to your party. Good luck. How many candles are they going to put on there?
Oh, 63. Oh, wow.
How's that compare with you?
Oh, there'd be 5 more on for me.
Oh, would there?
And
one,
you?
One less.
All right.
Yeah. We were playing Top Trumps as stents last week.
We didn't ask about the stents.
No.
Well, thanks very much, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll
see you
next week.
See ya. Thanks for tuning in.
Goodbye now.